Brother Allen asks that we read from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. So if you want to turn to that. I've always appreciated the work of the Ministry of Bible Helps. We know the people, most of us know the people who work there. We have heard many testimonies about how the ministry has helped people in their spiritual journey. And most importantly, it's a ministry that, in a way, we all can be involved in. I know years ago, people, I don't know if they do it anymore, they used to put messages on helium balloons and release them, and they would hope someone would find the message. Sometimes it would go real far away, and they would just like a lot of, I wonder where my balloon landed. I wonder if anyone got my message. Or sometimes they would put messages in bottles and throw them into the sea, and that they would hope that someone would get that message. The neat thing about Bible Helps is when we put money in the offering for Bible Helps, or we send them a donation, we can just wonder, you know, where's that money going to go? Will it go into a prison in New York as far a track to help a prisoner? Will that money go towards helping a single mother in Nicaragua? Maybe the money we give, it's going to end up in a track in Africa, and someone's going to get involved with the Lord there and maybe start a ministry. So it's a really good way each of us can be involved through finances, but also by praying that the Lord would continue to use this ministry. We can be partakers in this ministry. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. For if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. With these thoughts on our mind, let's kneel for prayer.
To be inspirational as well as informational. And at this time, we're going to look to Brother Allen Nell to bring us a message for the inspirational part of the meeting. So at this time, let's give our attention to Brother Allen.
I believe it was this past summer when I was asked to share a message at this Bible Helps meeting. And looking back, I realized it's easier to say yes when you think about how far away it is. But I always appreciated the ministry of Bible Helps, the value that I have received from reading the pamphlets. And I trust that I can share something tonight that would be an encouragement. In 2 Corinthians 4, 6, the last verse that Brother Ray read this evening, the Apostle Paul referenced the creation of life, light, and used it as a striking picture of the entrance of light into the darkness of a soul who is born in sin. Verse 6, and just catch the message that Paul is writing here. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined, that speaks of illumination, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And as I thought about that and meditated on that verse, it made me realize how grateful I need to be for the grace of God. We are unworthy of His grace towards us. And I'm just thankful that the light of the knowledge of the grace of God has shined onto me through the ministry and the power of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 9:2 speaks prophetically of the light that Christ would bring to a sin-darkened world. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus called himself that light which he was bringing to a sin-darkened world. I am the light of the world, he said. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. A familiar hymn begins with these words: the whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, his glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. The great theme contrasting the darkness of the soul without Christ to the glorious light he brings when that soul receives him by faith is found often in the scriptures. 1 Peter 2:9 says, Christ hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In the first chapter of Colossians, the apostle Paul pours out his heart and prays to God for the light of the gospel with these words, giving thanks unto the Father, who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Jesus submitted to the darkness separation from his heavenly Father so that we need not endure eternal separation from God in outer darkness. Joseph Damien was a missionary in the 19th century who ministered to people with leprosy on the island of Molokai, Hawaii. Those suffering with leprosy grew to love him and respected the sacrificial life that he lived out before them. But he didn't know the price he would have to pay. One morning, before he was to lead them in their daily worship, he was pouring some hot water into a cup, and some of the water swirled out of the cup and fell onto his bare foot. It took him a moment to realize that he had not felt any sensation. Gripped by the sudden fear of what this could mean, he poured some boiling water on the same spot. No feeling whatsoever. Damien immediately knew what had happened. As he walked to deliver his sermon that morning, no one at first noticed the difference in his opening line. He normally began every sermon with the words, "My fellow believers." But that morning, he began, "My fellow lepers." When he first started working among the lepers, he didn't know what it would cost him. However, in a greater measure, when Jesus came into this world, he was fully aware of what it would cost him. He bore on his pure being the darkness of sin. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all, so that we might be called out of darkness into his marvelous light. For those who receive him, there is that wonderful transformation in the light. As Paul reminds believers in Ephesians 5:8, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. walk as children of light. The light enters the soul by the word. Psalm 119, 130 says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. The entrance of thy word giveth light. Without the scriptures, this world would lie in the deepest darkness. Years ago, our family visited Luray Caverns in Virginia. In one of the deepest recesses of that cavern, the guide turned out the lights so that we might experience total darkness. I never experienced darkness like that. It was a picture of the spiritual darkness that would envelop this world if it wasn't for the Word of God. In the days when the West was being settled in this country, a young lawyer, a professed atheist, boasted he was going west to locate some place where there were no churches, no Bible, no light. Before the year was over, however, he wrote to a former classmate, a young minister, begging him to come out and start a church. Be sure to bring plenty of Bibles, he urged. I have become convinced that a place without Christians or Bibles is too much darkness for any living man to endure. In 1833, Charles Darwin went to the South Sea Islands looking for the so-called missing link. As he observed the cannibals who lived there, he concluded that no human beings anywhere were more primitive, and he thought that he had found that lower stratum of humanity that would fit into his theory of evolution. 34 years later, he returned to the same islands. To his amazement, he discovered churches, schools, and homes occupied by those former cannibals. They were clothed and frequently gathered together to sing hymns. He soon discovered the reason for the change. Missionary John Payton had been there, proclaiming the gospel message contained in the Word of God. As Psalm 119, 130 states, the entrance of thy word giveth light. And Darwin was so touched by the transformation that he witnessed that he gave a generous contribution to the London Missionary Society. And Darwin's missing link remained missing. We live in a world that is increasing in wickedness and spiritual darkness. In the midst of all the spiritual darkness in the world today, the word of Christ to the church is still the same as it was nearly 2,000 years ago. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. When Benjamin Franklin wished to interest the people of Philadelphia in street lighting, he didn't try to persuade them by just talking about it. He hung a lantern on a long bracket in front of his home. Every evening at the approach of dusk, he carefully lit the wick. People could see the light from a distance, and when they walked in its light, it provided illumination and helped them avoid sharp stones on the pavement. It wasn't long before Franklin's neighbors began placing lanterns and brackets in front of their homes. And soon the entire city recognized the need for street lighting and took up the matter with interest and enthusiasm. In the midst of all the spiritual darkness in the world today, it's imperative that all of God's children take up with interest and enthusiasm the mandate of Christ to let our light shine. I am reminded of what Paul wrote in the second chapter of Philippians. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. I have those last phrases underlined in my notes. Among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. Holding forth the word of life refers to the believer holding out or offering something for others to take. It includes many facets of Christian living: evangelism, witnessing, teaching, works of love and compassion for our fellow man. Holding forth the word of life certainly includes the producing and distributing of Christian literature. Let's consider for a moment the power of the printed page. Charles Darwin wrote a book called The Origin of the Species. Evolution is now taught in every state university and college, as well as most public schools in the world. The belief in God of many young people has been weakened by that one book. Karl Marx wrote just one book, Das Kapital. Many souls lost their freedom and have had to live under a totalitarian communist regime because of that one book. The power of the printed page. It is estimated that that book has been responsible for over 100 million deaths. When Lenin took over Russia, he said, "The people will never believe or understand communism unless they are indoctrinated with communism by the printed page." From 1955 to 1980, the Jehovah's Witness increased their membership by 2,000%. And they did it by the printed page. In 1959, on one day, they filled the old Yankee Stadium and Polo Grounds in New York City with over 180,000 people. It is reputed to have been the largest religious service up to that time in the history of the world. On that one day, they baptized over 7,000 converts. And they testify that the crowd of people and every convert was the result of the printed page. The power of the printed page. Those three instances point out the negative consequences of the printed page. The words of Daniel Webster are as relevant today as they were 200 years ago. If religious books of truth are not widely circulated among the masses in this country, I do not know what will become of us as a nation. If truth is not diffused, error will be. If God and his word are not known and received, the devil and his works will gain the ascendancy. If the evangelical volume does not reach every hamlet, the pages of a corrupt and licentious literature will. If the power of the gospel is not felt through the length and breadth of the land, anarchy and misrule, degradation and misery, corruption and darkness will reign without mitigation or end. How prophetic those words are becoming. T.E. Floyd, former British Home Secretary of the African Inland Mission, said, "Christian literature is today's absolute number one priority in all missionary planning." I'm thankful for the ministry of Bible Helps that we can support. We can be confident that truth is being published in the world today. In the words of the Apostle Paul, it is holding forth the word of life. How important this is in a world where much literature is the tool of Satan to propagate error and confusion. The following is rephrased and condensed from a publication about the printed page that I read. And this is a commentary on the power of the printed page. Whether it's a tract or a Bible, or any other writing that presents the truth, the printed page is a missionary. It travels cheaply and requires no hired haul. It is able to travel to other countries and needs no visa. A stamp will do. Once it was found in the waste paper basket in a Brazilian prison and was instrumental in the conversion of many prisoners. It reaches those who otherwise might never be reached. It never wavers, nor is it timid. It is not tempted to argue or compromise. It neither tires nor grows discouraged. It works while others sleep. It can be shared, read, and considered numerous times. In terms of the price paid for it, the number of people reached, and the fact that the message can be read over and over again until it is understood, there is no other method that compare with the printed page. But more importantly, the printed page is effective. It carries authoritative answers and hope for eternal souls. Shortly, we will hear testimonies about the Bible Helps publications. And I want to close the message this evening with an example of the power of the printed page. It has to do with a tract that the Mennonite Church distributed door to door in the town of East Berlin. You know, I often observed after the morning service on a Sunday morning, Mennonite sisters and brothers walking down the streets distributing tracts. And I wondered how effective it was. Well, one day I got the answer. In this instance, the recipient was a middle-aged man who was dealing with a troubled marriage. His wife had left him and had filed for divorce. Earlier, he had attempted to take his own life. On the day that he had planned to carry out his intention, it so happened that his daughter, who was a student in high school, had a class canceled that day because the teacher was sick. His daughter, during that canceled class, took the opportunity to call her father at home. That call interrupted his plan and prevented him from taking his life that day. He was looking for hope. The message of that gospel tract and the hope that he noticed in some of the Christian girls that waited on him frequently at the business where I am employed motivated him to ask to speak with someone about attending our church. I was asked to talk with him. This is a conversation that I did not initiate. I was asked to speak with him. And I was reminded of the verse in Peter, "Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear." And I didn't know on that occasion how ready I was. I prayed for wisdom. He shared what was troubling him. In that initial contact, I just listened as he unburdened his heart. I invited him to church, invited him home for a Sunday dinner, and spent the afternoon with him, talking with him and sharing things from the scriptures. I met with him at least one other time, gave him a Bible and some Christian literature that had to do with marriage. Sometime after that, I ran into him. He said he wanted to talk to me again. He said, I'm going to call you. But I never received that call. I wish I could tell you that he yielded his life to Christ and that he became a believer. But one thing I do know, because of a gospel tract, the seed was planted. And we need to trust God for the results. I still pray for him that he would come to the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Someone has said, successful evangelism is sharing Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results up to God. God bless the rest of the service.
Thank Brother Allen for his challenging message this evening. Certainly it was inspirational. You know, we said it, the Bible helps committee meetings time after time, and yes, we know that the gospel tracts are effective. It would be Brother Allen tonight pronounced that in a very dramatic way, that the gospel literature is effective in reaching people that, you know, we as individuals cannot reach. And we just appreciate the inspiration, the challenge that he left with us. May the Lord bless Brother Allen in his ministry. One of the highlights of our Bible Helps meetings, we meet two times a year. One of the highlights is the reading of excerpts of letters that come in concerning the tracts that someone has received. And so at this time, Brother Robert's going to read some of those excerpts to us.
Thank you, Brother Dennis and Brother Allen, for the challenging message. We appreciate that. And thank you for coming this evening. These letters were compiled by Brother Harold Martin, but at 87 years old, he doesn't travel in evenings anymore, so he's not here to read them, but we appreciate he's continuing to read the letters and compile these excerpts. From Las Tunas, Cuba, thank you and much love to all of you. May God shower you with many blessings. I need a new shipment of your precious literature. A hug in Christ to all of you collectively. Ilorian Kawara State in Nigeria. I thank God for the blessings I have received through your ministry. I pray for more peace, grace, and wisdom for you as you continue to enrich lives through the Word of God. I have been greatly enriched through the Bible Helps booklets. La Libertad, Peru in South America. Please, can you send another box of Spanish tracts? Each day we evangelize people and also share material with other sisters who love souls. Thank you for your generous support. From the Bronx and New York City, we have ordered tracts from Bible Helps. We are preaching in the streets to all lost souls, but we have run out of tracts. I would like to order a box of Spanish tracts and a box of English tracts because our community is of both languages. Benin City, Edo State in Nigeria. The ministry here received the box of tracts from Bible Helps. Those who heard of its arrival rushed to our office and read them and took some out for distribution. Our office was filled with several people reading them so that there was no space in the rooms. We had to set up additional space for the many users who wanted to read them. May your feet walk in holiness. May your hands be tender and helping. May your heart be humble and receptive to one another and to the things of God. May goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life. Amen. Bronx in New York City, I am writing to request some packets of tracts. If you can help us with the task of spreading the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ here in New York City. I appreciate the Bible Helps group for assisting a lot of preachers to deliver the Word of God. In Brooklyn, in New York City, the people at the church here really enjoy reading and studying the Bible Helps. They help us to grow spiritually and to know more about our powerful God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Please send 2,000 copies of tract 38, The Days of Noah Repeated, and also 1,000 copies of the tract, The Precious Blood of Christ, Chicago, Illinois. I am scheduled to speak at the Door of Hope Mission here in Chicago near the end of July. As I often do, I look through my copies of Bible Helps and pray that God will lead me to the topic He desires me to speak on. Then, with much prayer, I allow God to use me to speak on behalf of His kingdom. Marlin, Texas. This is from a prisoner. I am currently incarcerated and would greatly appreciate any tracts that you could send to me. Thanks for the time you have taken to attend to this letter. From Kissimmee, Florida. I have recently received some wonderful and amazing Bible Helps from your office, and I am very thankful for them. You have been blessed to outline and present God's Word in such a wonderful and understanding way. My request is to have 12 copies of the title Offenses Against the Holy Spirit and 6 copies of the topic The Vice of Sexual Immorality. Belleville, Pennsylvania, please send 15 more copies of your good leaflet entitled The Farewell Discourse of Jesus to someone else in Belleville. In Chowchilla, California, from the Central California Women's Facility State Prison, we here at the CCWF do honestly value your contribution to our knowledge about how to live a Christian life. Thanks so much. Brooklyn, New York, thanks very much for all you do at Bible Helps to spread the Word of God to various parts of the globe. May God reward you abundantly and give you the grace to remain faithful to Him to the end. I keep Bible Helps in my prayers regularly and will continue. From Florence, Arizona, Department of Arizona Corrections, thanks for sending me your ministry newsletters. My family doesn't write or take my calls. They seem to have more important things to do, and their lives are too busy. I'm not bitter, and I understand. Your Bible Helps are a blessing and are greatly beneficial. We, my fellow inmates and I, started a Bible study, and we are using the Bible Helps articles for our studies. I appreciate your studies, and it is a blessing to hear from all of you at Bible Helps. Vineland in New Jersey, we want to thank you for the tracts that you mailed to us some years ago. They are presenting the powerful Word of God and have been a blessing to our ministry. The pastors of the Rehoboth Pentecostal Church ordered copies of 5 titles. Graceville in Florida, I'm enclosing a request for more Bible Helps booklets. I have studied each of the booklets that you sent last month. I must tell you that Brother Martin's One More Night with the Frogs is an awesome message. It sure does preach. I am a better disciple of Christ for having had the opportunity to read Bible Helps. In London, Ohio, I'm writing to ask if Bible Helps has some Bible courses. I would like to learn more about Jesus and do the Bible lessons. I would like a packet of Bible Helps. We do not have correspondence courses. We have some flyers for Bible correspondence courses that we do send to people that want to do that. New Orleans in Louisiana, I would love to receive a copy of the paperback book, Simple Messages on Matthew by Harold S. Martin. Thank you very much, and God bless. Lafayette, Indiana, I would like to request a copy of the message, Roadblocks in the Sinner's Path to Hell, written by Harold S. Martin. I read about it in the Remnant magazine. That's a magazine put out from Holmes County, Ohio, from a charity-type church, and they've been in touch with us for permission to do that. Webster in South Dakota, please find enclosed a $10 gift for Bible Helps. Please send the Bible Helps messages to my granddaughter in Iowa. From Dolphin in Pennsylvania, I just finished reading the article on Calvinism. I read a lot of your stuff, and I like it. Please send 6 copies of the article on Calvinism, number 431. Ephrata, Pennsylvania, please send 12 copies of the article on Calvinism. Excellent. Churches are cuddling up to Calvinism, and Paul Shirk gives a good review. Thomastown, PO, Bangalore in South India, I have been reading your Bible Helps study materials and have enjoyed each one of them. I am teaching in a Bible college in India. I am interested in receiving your Bible study topics and messages. I will be thankful to you. From Ekiti State in Nigeria, I have received the delivery of the sample tracks that you sent our way. Permit me to say that they all went wonderful and great. They were all wonderful and great. From the list below, I am humbly making a request for more copies of each track listed. From Greenfield in Massachusetts, I have several ladies' Bible study groups. We are studying false religions. We like booklet number 431, and we also are ordering numbers 111, 260, 335, and 404. From La Libertad, Peru, beloved brothers in Christ, I am writing to ask that you send me a small box of tracts for evangelism. Many thanks. Thank you. From Guagualada in Abuja, Nigeria, I'm not sure on the pronunciation, but anyway, I most honestly appreciate how you have been assisting me to get Bible Helps tracts. Please kindly send a carton of the following 15 titles. From Irving in Texas, I'm interested in some of your tracts for distribution in India. At present, I am in Texas visiting my children. I will be going back to India. I would like at least 100 of each of the 6 tracts listed below to take along back to India. As I recall, those did make it back in time for him to take along to India. From the Deeper Life Bible Church in Essex in the United Kingdom, this note is to say a big thank you for the box of tracts we have received. God bless you. We would like to order the following 5 titles. From Myrtle Beach in South Carolina, we were visiting the Family Cupboard restaurant in Lititz, Pennsylvania, and got on the mailing list for Bible Helps. We love and appreciate them. A neighbor wanted to keep the one in Calvinism. They want to start a new tract ministry in the church they are attending. And from Paramaribo in Suriname, can you please send me 2 or 3 packages of the following 12 tracts? I thank you very much. Since 1990, I am getting your tracts.
Thank you, Brother Robert, for sharing those excerpts with us this evening. We do need to elect 2 committee members tonight.